Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff Shreve has an important question for you to answer.
Hey, are you willing to stand alone for the Lord? You know, sometimes that's what it takes to be courageous and to take that step alone. Nobody else is standing with you because they're all afraid and they shrink back in fear. Now, today in our sermon series, we want to look at a courageous prophet. His name is Micaiah. He was a man who was willing to stand alone for the Lord. So as we study Micaiah, my prayer is that this would be an encouragement to you and me and a challenge to you and me to be the people God wants us to be, no matter what.
In life, when we venture out into the world, we're often reminded that there is safety in numbers, right? But what if all our friends want us to go with them down the wrong path? Is it really safe just because we're going with the crowd? Well, we all know the answer. The obvious answer to that question is a big no. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve today. And in this insightful and inspiring lesson called Standing Alone, he explains what it takes to stand up for what is right in the eyes of the Lord, even when you may be the only and last one standing. This lesson is just one of four in Pastor Jeff's series, Courageous, How God Shows Up When We Step Up. If you've missed any of these lessons so far from this series that we've aired this week, you can go to fromhisheart.org, click the Listen tab, or you can even download a free MP3 of any broadcast along with Pastor Jeff's sermon outlines and notes. But first, open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 22, as Pastor Jeff provides insight into the courage needed to stand alone for the Lord.
Now, the biggest enemy to courage is fear. And one of the reasons that some people aren't very courageous in their life is they're afraid. And the Lord knows that we're afraid. And so he speaks to our hearts, and you'll find so many verses in the scripture about don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Hey, God doesn't, he's not the author of fear. Bible says that God, he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. The enemy is the one who uses fear. But God knows we get afraid, and God speaks to us in our fear. And in Deuteronomy 31, you have this great verse spoken from the Lord through Moses to the people as they were getting ready to go into the promised land and face off with the giants who lived in Canaan. The Lord says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." And we can be courageous if we know that God is with us. Now, today in our sermon series, we want to look at a courageous prophet. He is one that is not talked about a lot in the scripture. His story is found in the book of 1 Kings chapter 22, and then it's also repeated in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. His name is Micaiah. He was a contemporary of Elijah. Many of us know about Elijah the prophet, but we don't know much about Micaiah. But Micaiah was some kind of a man. He was a man who was willing to stand alone for the Lord. Hey, are you willing to stand alone for the Lord? You know, sometimes that's what it takes to be courageous and to take that step. You have to take that step, students. You have to take that step, and you take that step alone. Nobody else is standing with you because they're all afraid and they've shrunk back in fear. Standing alone for the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 22. You know, I was thinking about this. All of us who are Christians, we desire when we die to stand before God and to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." If you're going to be faithful to the Lord, you have to be willing to stand up for Jesus, even if that means standing alone. So as we study Micaiah, my prayer is that this would be an encouragement to you and me and a challenge to you and me to be the people God wants us to be no matter what. 1 Kings chapter 22, the year is 853 BC. This is the last chapter on the life of wicked King Ahab, who was married to an even wickeder, more wicked person. Wickeder is not a word, but more wicked person named Jezebel. And the Bible says of Ahab, surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, incited him. And he acted very abominably in following idols according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord cast out before the sons of Israel. He was wicked to the core. Now the scripture says this about him. It says in chapter 22, verse 1, and 3 years passed without war between Aram and Israel. Now remember that in the Old Testament, Israel started out as one nation, but then they split. When Solomon passed on and when he died, his son Rehoboam became king. You have the kings of Israel. First it was Saul, then it was David, and it switched to the house of David. And David's son was Solomon, and Solomon had all the prosperity. And then Solomon's son was Rehoboam, and Rehoboam was a big dummy. And under Rehoboam, the kingdom split. And 10 tribes of the 12 tribes that made up Israel, 10 tribes said, forget it, we're not going to follow the house of David. And so they started their own nation. It's called, because it's 10 tribes, it's called the nation of Israel, also called the nation of Samaria, because that was its capital city, also called the northern kingdom, also called Ephraim, because that was the big tribe that made up the 10 tribes. And then you had the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, that's called the nation of Judah. That's where the line of David continued to be king, and their capital city was in Jerusalem. So that helps you to understand. Now you have Ahab, and he's king of the northern kingdom, the godless, wicked Ahab. And he is wanting to go to war with the Arameans. And verse 2 says, and it came about in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us? And we are still doing nothing to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram. And he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle at Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Bad move by Jehoshaphat. He had no business becoming an ally with King Ahab. And the reason he did it was he did it for political reasons, and because he had taken for his son, he had taken Ahab's daughter, and they got together and they had a marriage to try and patch things up. But it was a wicked alliance, and God never wanted him to do that. And so here he is, he's getting ready to go to battle with Ahab. Bad move, a compromising move from a good King Jehoshaphat. Good people can make bad decisions, and he sure did. Verse 5, it says, moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire first for the word of the Lord. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain? And they said, go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. But these were all just little kiss-ups. They were just yes men. They were just toadies. They whatever the king wanted to hear, that's the kind of prophets they were. They weren't out-and-out prophets for Baal, but that was kind of in their heart. They didn't really speak for God or worship God. They were prophets for P-R-O-F-I-T, prophets for profit. And they wanted to tell the king what he wanted to hear. Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? He could tell those guys weren't true. And he says, we need to hear somebody who can speak on behalf of Yahweh. Sets the stage for Micaiah to come and speak before the king. Now, what does it take to stand alone for the Lord? Three essentials. Essential number one, it takes courage. It takes courage to stand alone for the Lord. Remember what we said, the definition, Merriam-Webster online definition of courage? It's the ability or willingness to do something difficult or dangerous. And it is going to be difficult for Micaiah to come after they've heard from 400 prophets who all said, yes, you go, God's going to give you the victory. Go fight against the Arameans. Go take Ramoth-Gilead. It belongs to us anyway. God gave it to us. Go fight. And here comes Micaiah, and Micaiah is going to tell him, don't do it. You're going to get defeated in battle. Now, when Jehoshaphat said, hey, is there not a prophet of the Lord? Look what it says in verse 8. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah. But Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. That's not a kingly thing to say, that you hate the prophet of the Lord. But Ahab hated him, because Micaiah was willing, kind of like John the Baptist, he was willing to stand up in the face of the king and say, you're wrong. And he always prophesied evil concerning Ahab. Why? Because Ahab had sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Ahab was so far from God. So when Ahab wanted to do something, well, it wasn't going to be good, because God was against him, because he was against God. And God's word to Ahab was always the same. Repent, 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 repent. And so Ahab didn't like to consult Micaiah. He knew he wasn't going to get a good report from Micaiah. Ahab hated him. First thing to remember, if you're going to stand for the Lord and you're willing to stand alone, you remember this, the world will hate you for it. The world will hate you for it. You stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in John chapter 15, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. John says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, do not marvel if the world hates you. I mean, if the world loves you, something's wrong. The Bible says that if you are wanting to be loved by the world, and listen, everyone wants to be loved. Nobody likes to be hated. I don't, you don't, nobody does. Micaiah didn't. But listen, there are times where you have to take a stand, and if the world doesn't like it, tough. I mean, friendship with the world, the Bible says, is enmity toward God. It's warfare against God. James chapter 4, verse 4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to make himself a friend of this world makes himself an enemy of God. Who do you want to be friends with, the world or God? You speak the truth in love to this world who's going in the wrong direction, that's going in the wrong direction, and you tell them that they need to repent, they're not going to like that. They don't want to hear that, but they need to hear it. And we don't need to be obnoxious. I mean, you don't have to go out of your way for the world to hate you. They're just going to hate you if you stand up in love and speak the truth in love. How do I know that? Because Jesus Christ was love when he walked this earth in his flesh. He was love in the flesh, and he spoke the truth, and they nailed him to a tree. Hey, if the world hates you, Jesus said, know that it hated me before it hated you. So to have courage, you're able to say, I don't care who hates me. I'm going to make sure that I'm not attaching myself to this world, that I become a friend of God, and I am being faithful to him, because I live for an audience of one. That's to please the Lord. Hey, the world will hate you for it if you have the courage to stand for the Lord, and the world will pressure you against it. They don't want you to stand for the Lord. And so they will exert pressure on you to cave and to compromise. Let's go on, verse 9. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenan, it's a bad name, made horns of iron for himself and said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Arameans until they are consumed. And all the prophets were prophesying thus, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. Speak good, speak pleasant, speak smooth, speak flattery. Get in line with the rest of these 400 prophets, Micaiah. There was pressure on Micaiah. There's pressure when 400 people all say the same thing and you stand up and say something different. Pressure. And this guy is saying, you better not say something that's going to tick off the king. Just speak words that will make him feel good about his decision to go out and to do battle. Pressure. You felt the pressure at work? The peer pressure? The pressure to fudge? The pressure to lie? The pressure to cheat just a little bit? You feel the pressure at school? I mean, there's lots of pressure when you're a teenager because you want to fit in. And so if I'm going to fit in with the crowd, what's the crowd doing? Well, the crowd's getting drunk. Man, I want to be friends with those people, so I better go to those parties and you know, but I'm not going to drink. And you start going to those parties and pretty soon your resolve starts to evaporate and, well, I'm not going to get drunk. You know, I'm just going to have one or two. And then that's a slippery slope. And then all of a sudden, well, you know, I'm not going to take drugs. Now you find yourself taking drugs. And there's just this pressure that the world puts on you. It tries to, as it says in Romans chapter 12, to squeeze you into its mold, to conform you to its image. When I worked my first outside sales job for Waste Management, I felt that pressure. And here I was, and I was with these people, and my first job out of college was an inside sales job, and so it was a little more controlled, but then it was an outside sales job, and we could just, you know, I had a company car, and we would go, and we'd meet with the other sales reps, and we'd go to have these long lunches and things, and they were drinking and carrying on, and there was lots of immorality in the office, and I could feel myself, I was just getting pulled into that stuff. And I had to say, I can't do any of this. I can't start hanging around this. I can't go to these things where these people are doing this stuff. And there was really strong pressure. And I was about 23, 24 years old. There's pressure to conform. Man, we feel the pressure. I heard about one girl. She had a high school girl. She had given herself over to sexual immorality. She had sacrificed her purity upon the altar of some boy's lusts. She'd gone all the way, and she continued to go all the way. And she was talking to another girl at school, a girl who was a virgin, a girl who was keeping herself for her husband and for her honeymoon night. And she was, this girl who had gone all the way was making fun of her. Because, oh, you're such a prude. Why are you doing that? And she was laughing at her and making fun of her. And finally, the virgin could only take so much of it. And she looked at this girl and she said, you know what? She said, any time I want to be like you, I can. But any time you would like to be like me, you can't. You've given something away that is so precious and so valuable. Hey, we live in a world today where there is just pressure for sexual immorality. There's pressure for drugs and alcohol and cheating and all that stuff. And God wants to know, hey, are you going to be faithful? Are you going to stand for what's right? It takes courage to do that because sometimes, like Micaiah, you have to stand alone. Now, I told you before, when I was in college, I didn't know anybody except my buddies from high school, and I got saved toward the end of my senior year in high school, and so here I am in college, and I'm going to walk with God, and they're all out getting drunk, and they're all out at the fraternity house, and Friday night, I'm by myself doing calculus homework. And who does calculus homework on Friday night? I did, because I didn't have anywhere to go, because I didn't have anybody to do anything with, and I had to stand alone. I can still remember looking out my window, 19th floor of the Castilian Dormitory, right there on 24th in Guadalupe, just looking out thinking, Lord, what gives? I'm all by myself. Sometimes you have to be willing to say, I'll stand alone. takes courage to do that. Second essential, if you're going to stand alone for the Lord, it takes commitment. Commitment to do that. Now, when the messenger told Micaiah, hey, you better speak favorable words, Micaiah says this, as the Lord lives, verse 14, what the Lord says to me, that will I speak. When he came to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go up to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain? His answer, strange. He says, go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king, obviously being very sarcastic. Then the king said to him, how many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Probably you never did that, Ahab. But he says that because Jehoshaphat's there. So he says it to make himself look good. Like, I have to always browbeat this guy to tell me the truth. And then Micaiah lets him have it. So he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? And Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said this while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, how? And he said, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he said, you are to entice him and also prevail. Go and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all your prophets, and the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you. Wow, pretty tough. All by himself, stands there. Jehoshaphat is a believer, but he's a compromised believer at this time. He's not standing with Micaiah. Micaiah is standing alone. It takes courage to do that. It takes commitment to do that. Hey, there must be a commitment to the Word of God.
Today's message on From His Heart is the third of four in Pastor Jeff's series, Courageous, How God Shows Up When You Step Up. You can listen to any of those you may have missed when you go online to fromhisheart.org. We received a wonderful email that was so encouraging to us. It was from a lady by the name of Patty. And Patty writes to say, Pastor Jeff, I listen to your radio program and I also watch you on TV when I can. I'm a 62-year-old preacher's kid, and I have strayed at times from my relationship with God. And if it wasn't for preaching like yours, and I've heard a lot of preaching, I still may have continued to move away from God, even knowing He was steadfast. It was me who was pushing away. Thank you for your programming each day and the Real Hope email encouragement letter that you also send me every week. I'm grateful for you and the encouragement I get, and I pray God's continued blessings on you. Well, that's Patty, and it's a reminder to us and hopefully to you to support From His Heart as we're reaching the world for Christ. We're in our 20th year of broadcasting the good news, designed to help reach the world and build the kingdom of God through broadcasting. And when you give to From His Heart, you're helping in that effort. And for your gift this month to From His Heart, we'd like to say thank you by sending you Pastor Jeff's six-message series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8, as our thanks. It's a brand new series, and you can get it in the format of your choice. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the series More Than Conquerors when you make your gift. Time's gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be right back here on Monday for part two of the lesson called Standing Alone. Join us then as we open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, who for 20 years has been broadcasting the truth and love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org.